Hello and welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name is Alyssa.
And I'm Melissa.
Thanks for being here. We were just chatting before the podcast and we're like, you know, before we hop into the deliverability stuff, we have to chat a little more. And I was about to tell Melissa about a movie I watched the other night because it really stuck with me. But I'm like, we'll just do it live.
I'm interested.
Yeah. But I guess before, so that you all stick with us, we are going to talk about deliverability stuff. We're going to get into how you can utilize these new recommendations tools that are out there for ConvertKit. We have the Creator Network recommendations, and a lot of people are using it to grow their list exponentially, which is awesome. But we want to make sure you know how you can use that and still have really healthy deliverability and engaged subscribers. But first, I can talk about
the movie that you watched.
Yeah. So it was called Dream Scenario, and it has Nicolas Cage in it. And it just was like such a crazy movie. It was kind of eerie, but it really stuck with me. And I'm trying to remember everything that happened. So I don't want to give anyone a spoiler.
Be careful.
Okay. I won't give any spoilers. I think this is all in the trailer. But Nicolas Cage is like this very ordinary man. He is a professor in a college, just like the most normal, kind of boring, I would say, like is how they want to portray him, guy, literal boring. And he kind of keeps getting people coming up to him and being like, I had a really weird dream about you last night. And then it gets insane where like everyone in the world is seeing him in their dreams.
Ew.
Yeah. And so he kind of becomes famous because everyone's like, who is this random man who keeps popping up in my dream? And it gets crazy. It gets really crazy, even crazier than that. And he becomes like, yeah, I don't want to say too much, but
I'm already interested.
It's really interesting. And it ends up being commentary on like people who go viral, sort of people who like have 5 minutes of fame, what it does to their life. What else? Kind of cancel culture. Like
interesting.
It gets into a lot of stuff. It's really interesting. And yeah, it was one of those movies that I was like thinking about days later. So I was like, oh, that's so weird.
What did you watch it on? What streaming service did you watch it on?
I think we had to rent it on like Apple TV app where you can just rent movies. Cause it was, I think it might still be in theaters for some people, but it was a good movie. I would say if you like that sort of like,
like alternate reality-ish kind of thing. Interesting. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
It was interesting. What do you have to tell me about Nicolas Cage?
Okay, Nicolas Cage is a very polarizing. It kind of reminds me of like the band Nickelback. Like Nicolas Cage is very polarizing, I think, to a lot of people. Some people absolutely cannot stand him as an actor. Some people really like him as an actor.
Yes.
I personally love Nicolas Cage. I think it's because like a lot of movies I grew up watching had him in them.
So one interesting thing about this movie is I believe Thomas looked up, he was cast for that reason, because the character like goes through that process where like he's loved and then he's hated.
Interesting.
And like Nicolas Cage took on this role to kind of represent. Like,
oh, yeah. Him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Anyways, keep going.
Okay. So, yeah. So he's a very polarizing actor. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I was told in college, and I have this really horrible habit of like, once I get started laughing, I can't, like, especially when I'm in a situation where I shouldn't be laughing, it's just really, I mean,
I'm the same way.
You know that about me. Yeah,
it's terrible.
It's horrific. So, so I was told in my college class, I was in like a film studies class, and my friend was sitting next to me and he was like, have you ever heard of like the Nicolas Cage cat thing? And I was like, no, what? He's like, just Google Nicolas Cage and cats. And so I did. And I'm about to message you what comes up.
I'm scared. I hate it. I wish I would have never seen that.
There's tons of just cats with Nicolas Cage's face.
Oh.
On it. And I was laughing so hard in class, I almost had to excuse myself from class.
My
like,
gosh.
I was in tears. I had to like bite my tongue.
You would.
I know. Well, it was so unexpected. I was like, what are you talking about? It is all over the internet. If you Google Nicolas Cage and cats.
Poor Nicolas Cage.
I know. And it makes me so mad because like, I don't know, say what you want about National Treasure, but it is a treasure.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've seen it like one time. I need to watch it.
Oh, it's just such a, I don't know. But yeah, anyways.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the visual of Nicolas Cage's face on a cat.
Yeah, you're going to have to delete it now because it's creeping me out also.
Yeah, I can't just stare at that in my sleep.
I deleted it. It's done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, well. Okay, I guess we'll just get into email now, but it's fun to, you know, just chat it up a bit.
Hopefully other people think that's funny or something, or else we'll...
I hope so.
Let us know if it's not and we'll stop.
We won't do it for too long.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, we're going to talk about how to keep your list healthy while using a recommendation tool. So I mentioned, you know, ConvertKit has, we have a recommendation tool. I know there are other providers who have their own versions. Obviously, I don't know all of their like tools available for keeping your list healthy. So we're going to mainly be speaking about ConvertKit's tool because that's where we work. But I'm sure if you're using one of those other tools, you can take what you learned from this and apply it there, hopefully. If not, if you need better automations or list cleaning features, then you know who to talk to. So if you're not familiar with what these recommendations tools are, or if you're like, what is that? Are you buying lists? Are you sharing lists? Like, we are obviously very anti sharing lists, cold email, things like that. It's not that. What this recommendation feature is let's say that I have a newsletter and I want to recommend Melissa's newsletter. Whenever someone subscribes to my newsletter, they'll see a pop-up and it says, here are some other newsletters I recommend. And they're going to see Melissa's face there and they can choose to click subscribe or not. And I can recommend as many, well, up to 5 people on ConvertKit if I want. And on ConvertKit, you can also have some paid recommendations where maybe Melissa actually wants to give me $3 for every engaged subscriber I send over to her. So I could actually be earning in the process, which is awesome. So that's what I'm talking about when I say a recommendation tool. And it's going really well for the ConvertKit customers using it, like crazy well. There are people who have gained over 100,000 subscribers from using recommendations in a pretty short amount of time. For most of our customers using the Creator Network, it's now their top source of subscribers. And these are people who are already gaining a ton of subscribers on their own. So it's been wonderful.
I feel like this is one of those things where we have to preface by saying, just like any tool out there that helps you do anything, there are usually like really good ways to use it. And then there are ways that like don't benefit you as much. So I feel like people always want like a magic solution or quick fix or whatever. And like, even though this tool, we're seeing people with like incredible results, there's also like the caveat of, but you also have to use it well and set yourself up for success. So
yeah.
I think that's something that kind of goes for saying with like almost any tool out there for lots of different things, not just like recommendation tools, but like, it's easy to have an idea of like, this is going to change everything for me and then not set up properly and then see potentially either not seeing results at all or seeing results that maybe are hurting you a little bit more than helping you. So that's just like a friendly reminder of there's usually not just a click and then it's all just done.
Such a good reminder. Yes. So the success you see in tools like this are going to depend on who's recommending you and how many organic subscribers they're receiving every day. So if you have friends who are, you know, newsletter people or they have email lists, they know how to grow their list, like that's a great fit. Reach out to your friends, be like, hey, let's form a pod, let's recommend each other. Then every time one of you grows your list, you're all benefiting, which is awesome.
Right.
What doesn't go well is when someone's like, yay, I'm going to set up the Creator Network. And they kind of like get in there, set up their profile, and then don't do anything. It's like, well, no one's going to recommend you because you haven't made connections yet. Like, you have to put in some effort to see the results. But once you do, then the results compound, which is great.
Right. But even ways of setting up like your, we can talk about this more, but like setting up your profile and like how to optimize that even. And it kind of reminds me a lot of actually a lot of like deliverability tips that we give people.
Yeah,
so
for sure. One thing I wanted to make sure to call out here is that while, you know, we're talking about how great these tools are, how many new subscribers you can get, and that's all true, we also have to be transparent with ourselves that these are different subscribers than the subscribers you're normally gaining through other means of like people signing up to your website form or finding you on social media.
Buying something from you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those people, they have an idea of who you are. Maybe they've been following you on Instagram for a while and then finally you posted that reel about a recipe that got them hooked. I don't know what it is. Or maybe, you know, they were on your website, they've seen you, they heard you on a podcast, but they signed up knowing at least some of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
These people who come through recommendations literally saw your bio for probably a few split seconds and clicked subscribe.
Right.
They don't know anything else about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a small subset of people who actually didn't even mean to subscribe.
Right.
It definitely happens. You know, they just clicked. They thought that they were just subscribing to that first list. They didn't mean to go on to the next step. And they clicked it by accident. Who knows? But we do see that some people don't actually mean to subscribe. We're going to talk about what to do about those people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole point of this episode. We want to tell you these are great tools to use. We love the ConvertKit Creator Network. Definitely go use that. But there are certain steps you should take to make sure your deliverability and your reputation stays high, because this is a new kind of subscriber.
Right. Yeah. I think it reminds me too, a little bit, another way to think about it, of like paid traffic. And also, like, you and I were just talking about, I was talking about chocolate chip cookies earlier, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's this person that I follow that has like a chocolate chip cookie book that they came out with. And even like that kind of like passing interaction, like if you send me her profile and I sign up, like I can see myself like getting an email in a week and being like, wait, who's this person again? Because I didn't find that person like,
oh, for sure,
from my own research. And same with like paid traffic. Like sometimes you'll see something, you'll click on it. Everything's just happening so quickly for most people.
Yep.
So I think I agree with you. I think it's important to call out that there are like different kinds of subscribers, but it was that way before recommendation tools were even a thing.
True.
So like,
yeah,
like I don't want people to be like scared that like this is unique to that situation. Like we often see people who have other methods of subscriber collection that they're not like illegal and they're not like bad necessarily, but they don't always convert to the best subscribers. And there's ways that you can use those tools or those methods better. Same thing with paid traffic. Like there are ways to do it that are probably better than others.
Yeah, for sure. That's such a good point. I've done that so many times. Like I'll follow a new person on Instagram because I saw like someone recommended them.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later they pop up my feed. I'm like, who is this? I never followed this person.
Yeah.
So it's funny how quick like our
like memory is for stuff like that. Well, we're just seeing so much content. So I think it's a good reminder so that when you're curating your creator profile or your like welcome email, we can get into this in a second, but like those are all things that maybe just take a bit more forethought as to what's going to capture someone than maybe them finding you organically.
Yep, 100%. So the first thing we can get into is sort of like the first impression that these people get from you. And like we mentioned, that is the bio that you include in what we call your creator profile in ConvertKit. Everyone has a creator profile and you have a little section where you can add text. You can also add a photo, but that's what people are going to see on this modal that pops up that says, here are other people I recommend. So this is your first impression with people. We obviously want people subscribing, but more than that, you want them to subscribe and also to get a better understanding of who you are and what they're signing up for. So I've seen great creator profiles. I've seen some not so great creator profiles. I would say my recommendation is to keep it pretty short and sweet, but descriptive of what people can expect if they sign up. So it doesn't need to be a bio of you, of like world-renowned podcaster, you know, New York Times bestseller necessarily. Like,
right.
I think the ones that go really well are if you include the number of subscribers you have, that adds some validity right off the bat. If you have a large list and you kind of want to show that off, so say like join 100K plus subscribers receiving this newsletter every week about how to be more productive. I don't know what it is, but sort of
chocolate chip cookies.
Yes. Oh, I would subscribe right now.
Yeah. Same.
But make sure you tell people what are they going to get from it? How often are they going to get it?
Yeah.
And that's really about it. If you need to add something else to add social proof, like I mentioned, maybe it's number of subscribers. If you do want to have a descriptor of like New York Times bestselling author or whatever it may be, just keep it short. I see some people kind of put their life story in there and that doesn't go well.
Just too long.
Yeah. So that's the main thing is keep it short, but tell people the value they're going to get and what to expect from your emails, as in like, how often are they going to get this?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people to sign up and then they start receiving daily emails from you and they're like, what is going on?
This is a thing I have definitely seen recently. And sometimes, and again, this is like, this happens often where like people don't even realize the way that they have like their automations set up, or I don't know, like they have it set up so that someone is getting like a welcome email and then also a broadcast and then also another sequence email. And it's like three emails in a day. And I, if that was me, I'd be like, oh no, I made a mistake. That for me personally, that would just not be something I would be excited about. So, and I don't even think every sender who does that is doing it on purpose. I think sometimes you just get excited. You want to send people content so that they, you know who you are. You can introduce yourself right off the bat. And then before you know it, that person has been on your list for 2 weeks and received like 45 emails. And it's like,
right.
Yeah. So
not going to go well.
Yeah.
So I think that's about it for the bio. And then next step is about welcoming these subscribers. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think this is just like a healthy practice for literally any type of subscriber, like collection method. Like when I was like reading through kind of our notes for this episode, I was like, it's so funny how like deliverability topics and like conversations really are so helpful for so many different aspects of like, especially like at ConvertKit, like in our business. And so I think that demonstrating the value to your subscribers and reminding them why they signed up in a welcome sequence could be really important. And also potentially giving them the option to not stay on the list if they decide like, oh, I made a mistake and I don't think I want to be here, making it easy for people. So I know that that's like a conversation I have a lot with our customers, that it's really hard for creators who work so hard to get these steps implemented and they're really excited about it and they want to see it work. And then they have a really hard time, like either, you know, and this goes across the board for like even just forms with like double opt-in. Like I have this conversation with customers all the time, even not related to recommendations, but it really does like transfer over into recommendations too, of like give people options, like let them stay or let them go, but just make it easy and remind people why. Either why they signed up, but then along with that, like, what are they going to get out of these emails? And like, what's the value that you have to add to their life? But it probably has to be a little bit more convincing than some of those other organic subscribers that find you through various sources, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed. I think one of the most important things to call out there is the thing you mentioned about making it easy to unsubscribe. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've seen the people who are really successful with Creator Network and keeping high deliverability that they do is they almost at the very top of the message of that welcome email say like, oops, did you make a mistake? You didn't mean to do this. Like,
right.
Click unsubscribe below, no hard feelings, something like that. And I know that's, you know, for some people, they want to have the biggest list possible. That sounds scary to do.
Yeah.
But with these creator or these subscribers coming from recommendations, it really is the best move. There are enough people who don't know what they're signing up for.
Right.
Or maybe they've already forgotten who you are. And you would much rather see them unsubscribe than mark your message as spam.
Right.
That's what we're trying to avoid here. Mm-hmm. Especially with the new Gmail changes that we've been talking about. The spam complaint levels are way stricter than they have ever been. Mm-hmm. We've always had the same thresholds, but Melissa and I are seeing Gmail is really cracking down on when you hit 0.1% or higher. Mm-hmm. They are sending messages to spam pretty quickly once that's hit. Mm-hmm. And it's not difficult if you start using one of these recommendations tools and you don't have the right things in place to start hitting some of those.
And it's dropping their domain reputation quickly too. So like,
yep.
If you're seeing those spam complaint rates, they're usually pretty aligned with like your domain reputation, and it drops sometimes for people from high to low, like, or bad really quickly.
Yeah. And not saying this to scare you all, we're like, we have eyes on Google Postmaster tools for so many of our customers, most of them using Creator Network, mm-hmm. and they'll have high domain reputations. They're having a great time and they're gaining hundreds of thousands of new subscribers, but they also have really great processes in place that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. So it's just really important to do both. So again, making sure you make it really easy to unsubscribe right off the bat, because that's going to stop people from marking it as spam, which is very helpful.
Yeah, great point.
Nice. So if you are being extra, extra safe, I also just want to mention this. Mm. There are some people who really want to crack down on, you know, they want to use recommendations, but they want to be so safe about their reputation. You could also turn this welcome email into sort of a, you know, an opt-in confirmation email. Mm-hmm. You can include a button and say, I'm so happy you joined my list from, you know, a recommendation. That's amazing. Here's more about me, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. If after hearing all of this, you still want to receive my emails, you need to click this button to stay on my list. So it's sort of like a, let me introduce myself to you. Let me give you some more information. Mm-hmm. And now please confirm that you actually want to be here.
Yeah.
And I think people really respect that sort of mindset.
I just from like hearing you talk about it like that, I think you could also make it really fun and like funny, depending on whatever your niche is. Obviously, that wouldn't work for like everyone, but I think it's a great time to like capture people's attention. And if you can do that in a very like short amount of content, then I think you'll have a more engaged subscriber for a longer period of time.
Yeah, agreed. And I think people really like to hear, like, I keep my list small. I keep it full of engaged subscribers. And if that's not you, that's no hard feelings, but like click this button below if you're in and you want to be on my list. Like that's a great way to build a small community of engaged subscribers. So
yeah.
And in ConvertKit, if you didn't know how to do this, it's really easy to do with an automation. Mm-hmm. So you would just say, like, once someone joins the form creator network, that's how this works, send this sequence, which is going to be your welcome email sequence. And you can build that email, add the button, and say, if anyone clicks this button, I want to tag them mm-hmm. with creator network confirmed, for example. The next step in your automation will be to wait like 3 days-ish. And then you can check, do they have the tag creator network confirmed? If no, you can say right there, unsubscribe automatically. So mm-hmm. this is running for you in the background, yep. keeping your list clean, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's similar to the next step, which is to have an automatic list cleaning running in the background specifically for a creator network. Mm-hmm. It's good to have one for your general audience too.
Right.
But again, since these subscribers are so different, I recommend keeping a really tight ship here with creator network yeah. subscribers and cleaning out anyone who doesn't open in the first 30 days.
Yeah. Especially because even if you're not seeing like high complaints, some of those subscribers could end up being cold. And between cold subscribers and complaint subscribers, like again, with all of these Yahoo goal changes, we're seeing that some of these things that used to affect senders, like they've always affected senders, but it seems like some of these things might be doing that even like more than they used to when you're using your domain more heavily. So I think that, yeah, this is like, if you were going to do anything, like this is also like a super important thing to have in place, because cold subscribers over time, especially if you're getting the like the volume of subscribers coming in that we are seeing for some people, you could have a pretty cold subscriber list grow quickly if you're not paying attention. And then it's just harder to like
yep.
make decisions on like, okay, well, how long have these people been on my list? Do I want to remove everyone? This way, like you kind of just have it set up and it's running in the background and you don't have to worry about it like in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to think, if someone came to you through a recommendation, they literally just read that bio and they said subscribe, mm-hmm. and then they don't open an email from you in 30 days and you send like at least once a week. I mean, they've had plenty of opportunities to.
Right.
It's just not a good sign. Like, right. what are the chances that they're going to become a really engaged subscriber or purchase something from you?
Right.
At that point, they've probably forgotten who you are and it's best to just cut them loose, and you're gaining tons of subscribers
yeah.
every day now through the creator network. So it's like
maybe for that one, you've got 5 more. So
yeah.
Yeah. Cut your losses.
Yeah. So similar to the welcome sequence I mentioned earlier, you can set this up in a ConvertKit automation super easily. It would start with someone joins the forum creator network. There's a wait option. You can say wait 30 days. And then you can check, have they opened an email? And then if it's no, you can say unsubscribe. And it's as easy as that. And that's just running for you all the time. So again, just kind of keeping your deliverability extra protected while you're growing your list in this new way.
Yeah.
Nice. So that was short and sweet, but those are 3 really important steps to take. And I also hope you check out the Creator Network if you haven't already. If you have questions about it, feel free to reach out to our team. You can contact us at help@convertkit.com. And we'd be happy to help you get set up or help you find success in the creator network.
Cool.
All righty. Well, if you all go watch that movie I mentioned,
oh,
tell
yeah.
me. I don't even know if I'm recommending it. Like, there were some weird scenes. And I'm like, oh, don't think weird about me because of this movie. But it was strange. It was good, but it was strange. So anyways, if you watch it, I am curious to hear your thoughts. So let me know.
Maybe I'll try to watch it before the next time we record and then I'll let you know what I think.
Does Logan like that sort of movie?
Yeah, we're pretty like open-minded about different, like we don't have like one type of genre we like. So
okay.
I'm not sure what his opinion is on Nicolas Cage. I'd be interested to ask him that.
Oh yeah, that's a good dinner conversation.
Yeah, so I'll see what he says. I'm just going to randomly bring it up and be like, it's kind of quiet. I'll look at him and be like, so what do you think about Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
Just see what he says.
Please film it or something. I need to know his reaction.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
It'll be funny.
Alrighty, thank you all for listening again. I hope this was helpful. And yeah, stay tuned for next week.
All right, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.